was listening to the wind outside. I was inside, you were outside maybe. And I remembered this beautiful verse, which you might know, Monica. It's from, I heard it at a retreat with Norman Fisher, Zen priest and poet, but this comes from the Zen patriarch. This clear wind, what is it? This clear wind, what is it? Something to be loved, not to be named. Moving like a prince wherever it goes. The trees and the grass whisper its praise. This clear wind, what is it? Something to be loved, not to be named. Moving like a prince wherever it goes, the trees and the grass whisper its praise. Let the boat swing about in the current. I lift a cup to the vastness. How pleasant that we have no thought for each other. Coming back through two river valleys, clouds and water shine in the night. So mindfulness illuminates the world, refreshing our perception, inviting us beyond concept into a direct experience of the senses. I was coming in down the path, the side of the house yesterday, and noticed the trunk of the copper beech tree. And I remembered other copper beech trees I've met in Mount Auburn Cemetery in Massachusetts, in the woods, in Barrie, a particular way in which the skin of the trunk folds over itself like the skin of an elephant. So the world invites us to see itself beyond the names that we give it. Tree as a concept, maple, oak, pine, hemlock, copper beech. But what about tree as an experience? So mindfulness illuminates the world and reveals how the world is presenting itself to us to learn the truth of impermanence, the truth of the conditioned nature of all experience, and the truth of dukkha. There was an ice storm one year in Massachusetts, just before I went on retreat, and I remember walking through the woods and being disheartened at all the trees that had been damaged and fallen and limbs broken off, and all these lovely woods that I knew so well all of a sudden were just in disarray. Things change and the world changes. And in Victoria we see that a lot, with all of a sudden you're walking down a street and you think, oh, wasn't there a house there? And what was that house? And why don't I remember what that was? And something else is going up. So to allow the world to be illuminated by our perception, our refreshed perception, it means that we are open to these teachings on a daily basis, on a momentary basis. Just seeing the green coming in the woods. This is the most tender time of year, just before spring. So I wanted to share with you a little bit about a teacher named Deepama, whom I didn't know, but many of our teachers practiced with her. And she was a small Bengali woman who had an arranged marriage and went to live in Burma with her husband, and then lost two of her children and her husband by the time she was 40 or in her 40s. And what's interesting about Deepama is that when she was quite young, she wanted to learn meditation, but her husband discouraged her and said that there would be a time for that later in her life. So she was overwhelmed with grief and confusion. She had a 7-year-old daughter, but she was barely coping in her life. And finally she asked herself, "What can I take with me when I die?" She saw her dowry, her silk saris, her gold jewelry, even her daughter. And she knew that even though she loved her daughter so much, she wouldn't be able to take her with her. So she said to herself, "Let me go to the meditation center. Maybe I can find something there I can take with me when I die." And so at this amazing point in her life, the Buddha appeared to her in a dream. A luminous presence, he softly chanted a verse from the Dhammapada, which originally was offered as consolation to a father grieving the death of his son. "Clinging to what is dear brings sorrow. Clinging to what is dear brings fear. To one who is entirely free from endearment, there is no sorrow or fear." So how remarkable to have the Buddha come to you in a dream and repeat a verse from the Dhammapada. When she awoke, Deepama felt clear and calm. She knew she must learn to meditate no matter what the state of her mind. She understood the Buddha's advice. If she wanted true peace, she must practice until she was free from all attachment and sorrow. So I'll tell you a bit more about her later, yes?
Could you please read the verse again?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. "Clinging to what is dear brings sorrow. Clinging to what is dear brings fear. To one who is entirely free from endearment, there is no sorrow or fear." So she went and learned the basics of insight meditation. And this word insight, as we know, it refers to the wisdom that we develop, that clear seeing, which reveals the three characteristics of experience: its impermanence, its unsatisfactoriness, and the absence of an inherent self. She went to the meditation center in Rangoon, and she had extremely good paramis from previous lifetimes, and immediately had very, very strong concentration. And what's interesting about Deepama's story is that she didn't become a monastic. She didn't go and live in a cave. She actually returned and lived in Calcutta, in the hubbub, in the midst of a very busy community, and that her practice and her life had this extraordinary effect over the entire neighborhood. And teachers like Joseph Goldstein and Sharon Salzberg and Jack Kornfield and others would come and visit her there. And apparently the two rooms that she and her family lived in, her daughter and later her grandson, were quite tiny, and yet the rooms felt spacious because of Deepama's psychic space, because of the tremendous generosity and openness that she embodied. So let us continue our practice, and as we sit, to be inspired by teachers, great teachers like Deepama, and to see those losses in our own lives as powerful encounters with the truth of suffering. That have in many ways brought us here. However you begin your practice, remembering to gladden the mind with a sense of appreciation and gratitude for these supportive conditions, for the good health which permits us to practice, for the lineage and the richness of all the Buddhist traditions that we can learn from.
Thank you.
So as we come to the close of this practice period, we can carry our mindfulness into the walking, carry our mindful awareness into seeing, hearing, smelling, sensing, and receiving through all the sense doors. See if it's possible to be receptive and open to these sensory impressions without adding a sense of self. Just allowing sense impressions to arise. In the field of perception, in the field of awareness, without any clinging, without any wanting to identify. So may our practice be of benefit to all beings, and may all beings know happiness and the causes of happiness. May we all be free from suffering.